Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please open those up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we will begin this morning. And I first want to start off and thank the young men serving this morning. Isn't that fantastic? Seeing the young men read scripture, say the prayer, do the communion meditation. How about that welcome? Praise God for that. If you want to look as cute as Gunner, go get a teen t-shirt out there in the foyer today. But thank you, young men. If you see them today, make sure you pull them aside and tell them that they did a great job. Also want to welcome all the guests with us this morning, whether you're just passing through Little Rock or maybe you live here. You truly are our honored guests. We want the opportunity to get to meet you, to get to know you, and get you connected with the great things going on at Pleasant Valley. If you are maybe, I don't know, shopping around churches, going from church to church, trying to find a great home for you and your family, and you came to Pleasant Valley this morning thinking, you know what, I'm going to go to the perfect church. And so I'm going to go to Pleasant Valley. Then I've got bad news for you. You're in the wrong place because we are not a perfect church. We truly believe the old saying that says this, a church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And you will find out real quickly if you're a guest talking with our family here, we don't always have it all together. We don't always make the right decisions. We're not perfect, but we serve a God who is. And we encourage each other and we strengthen each other to lift each other up and hold each other accountable. And so we're so glad that you're here. If we could get it right all the time, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to gone to the cross. But he had to go to the cross because we're not perfect. And so if you're a guest with us looking for a church home, we would love for this to be your church home. Yesterday was a great day, as Gunner said during the welcome, at Vacation Bible School. And I do want to give a quick shout out to Linda Parker, Tina Brown, Amy Cheeseman, and so many countless deacons, ministry leaders, volunteers. Yesterday was a fantastic day. And matter of fact, if you had anything to do, if you're in the auditorium this morning, and even in the balcony, if you had anything to do with VBS, whether you taught a class, you helped decorate, you corralled the kids and got them from station to station, whatever you did, if you helped out with VBS, would you please just stand up where you are, just for a quick second. Go ahead and stand up. I think these people deserve a round of applause. Yes. Not only did I want them to stand up to give them a round of applause, but I also wanted them to stand up because if you see them sleeping during the sermon today, you know why they are sleeping, because they are exhausted. You know, I've often thought it'd be great if adults could go back to VBS, because I think there's a lot of things that we have forgotten that we once knew as kids, or things that we used to do as kids that that maybe we don't always do anymore. And a lot of things stuck out watching our kids right here yesterday. A lot of things stuck out. First off was their energy. Man, just their excitement for being here and their joy and lifting their voices in praise. It was just beautiful. Another thing that stuck out was how they were just focused on the Bible stories, whether it was the play up here or the stations that they went to. Anything that was said about God's Word, the stories, they were just soaking it in. They loved hearing God's stories. Yesterday, we had a ton of kids here. We had over 70 guests who were kids. Praise God for that. Kids are not afraid to invite people to church, are they? They don't care if they know you for 5 minutes or if they've known you for 5 years. They're going to invite you to church. They're going to bring you to this place so that you also can hear about God. I wish we still always did that as adults. Another thing that stuck out to me yesterday about Vacation Bible School was something that kids know full well that we've often forgot as adults, is that when we come together to learn God's Word, we have forgotten the power and importance of having snacks. Can I get an amen? Amen? You know, there's something magical that happens when we're learning God's Word while at the same time eating some animal crackers. It just brings it all together and it's magical. And so what we're going to do during the sermon this morning, the guys who passed out communion are going to come down the aisles. They're going to give you some fruit snacks and you're going to snack on those. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Some of y'all are actually smiling, getting all excited. Some of y'all are mad at me now. Sorry about that. But of all the things that stuck out to me yesterday about our kids, it was their singing. Man, it was their singing. And just thinking about it, honestly, gives me chills right now at this very moment. Kids don't care if they're on key. Kids don't care if they're hitting the right note. And to be honest, kids don't even care if they know the words. they are singing, and this place was blaring yesterday, and it was beautiful, wasn't it, Daniel? I mean, it was great. And so, which got me thinking, what are some of our favorite VBS songs? A lot of us grew up going to Vacation Bible School. And if you look back at your childhood, what were some of the most favorite songs that you remember growing up that we maybe don't always sing during service? And so what I did is yesterday and this morning, I kind of went around and asked different adults, what was your favorite VBS song? And some had to think about it for a minute, and some knew right off the bat. And so we listed some of these, and I want to share some with you real quickly. The Lord's Army, y'all remember that song? You got to march in place. This Little Light of Mine, I'm not going to hide it under a bushel, no. I'm All Wrapped Up. Y'all remember that song where you'd hug yourself, and then you'd throw your arms out and then pull them in? You ever watch kids do that song? They're not coordinated enough to do it. I don't know why we sing that song with them, because they're doing this, and then we make them go faster. Like, go faster, and they're doing this, and they're breaking their arms, but at least they love Jesus. And so the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, Kumbaya, Jesus is a Friend, which we had yesterday, If You're Happy and You Know It. So many great songs. Anybody still have your top VBS song, and I hadn't named it yet? Okay. Oh, okay. I'm not going to call on you, but we still have a top two, okay? The second one is The Wise Man Who Built His House Upon the Rock. Y'all remember that? Wise man built his... Okay, I'm not going to lead it. And the number one VBS song that majority of adults said that they remember that they missed today, hope this is yours, is Booster, Booster, Be a Booster. Is that it? That was it. All right, good. I mean, let's be honest. Don't be grouchy like a rooster. Come on. Booster, Booster, Be a Booster. The kids singing yesterday was fantastic, and I got to thinking about this. One of these songs is something that I'm going to get real serious about this morning and talk about, and it does come from Matthew chapter 7. Because just as we as adults can go back to VBS and learn from our kids about their excitement and their energy and the way they're soaking in God's Word and the way that they're inviting guests and they're singing, we can go back and remember all those things. Flip that. One day kids are going to be in the same position that we are in as adults. One day our kids and grandkids are going to learn what we know, and that is that being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, is not always easy. Being a Christian is not always the popular thing to be. Being a Christian is not always fun. Because many times when I read the Gospels and I read the words of Jesus, I walk away and I'm inspired and I'm ready to attack the world and say, let's go, let's attack the day. But then, if I'm honest with you this morning, there's many times when I read the words of Jesus in the Gospels and I walk away and I feel like I just got punched in the gut because I don't necessarily like what he says. And I can relate to the crowds throughout the Gospels. You know, when Jesus would have these big crowds, especially in John chapter 6, when he's talking about being the bread of life, and he started off with this huge crowd listening to him. And then when he got done, what happened? The majority of them were gone. The crowd had shrunk because they didn't like what Jesus had to say. They didn't want to put those things into practice. And one of those things that Jesus speaks that always feels like it hits me in the gut comes from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which we've tagged as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about some very difficult things within this sermon. He's talking about hate is the same as murder. Lust is the same as adultery. He's talking about loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. He's talking about not judging others and turning the other cheek and letting go of our worries and not living for treasures here on earth because they're just temporary. He's talking about all of these difficult things. And if you've ever read Matthew's 5, 6, and 7, all of us walk away from that sermon going, man, he stepped on my toes here, here, and here. Something always hits home with all of us. But then Jesus closes out that sermon with a passage from Matthew chapter 7 that we have tagged as a VBS song, but it's much more deeper than that. And this is what he says, starting with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And immediately this passage takes us back to that famous VBS song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." But it's so much more than that. Because we as Christians today do a fantastic job of memorizing the scriptures. We could go around the auditorium this morning and, man, we could quote scripture one after another. We know the words of Jesus. Many of us in here have memorized them. I remember growing up going to Sunday school class as a little kid. Every Sunday morning that I got to Sunday school class, I had a new verse that I had to have memorized. And if I had it memorized, I could quote it to the teacher. One of two things happened. One, I got a snack. There's the food thing again. Two, I got to put a star sticker by my name on the chart that looks something like this. Y'all remember these? Some of you are cringing right now. But we know the scriptures. Many of us in here have gone to church our whole life and we've grown up memorizing these. But then when we come to Matthew chapter 7, it says what? "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." In other words, there's a big gap. There's a big difference in just memorizing the scriptures and knowing them, which a lot of us do, and actually putting them into practice. I wish Jesus did say, "Hey, for everyone who hears these words of mine, for everyone who hears them and has memorized them, it's like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." Because if Jesus said that, guess what? Stuart Cash is good. I'm good to go. Home run for me. But he doesn't. He added those four words in the middle that I struggle with. Put them into practice. Are we just talking or are we walking? Watch this video from Francis Chan. He's talking about the same thing.
You found a middle road. I'm not a real, you got to understand, those who know me know that I'm not a real complicated guy. I tend to think like a kid. I tend to just go, "Well, that seems like what it says." You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to play this game called Follow the Leader. Remember that? I mean, some of you guys don't because you just play video games. But we used to play this game called Follow the Leader, where the leader, you know, flaps his wings and you do the same thing. And it was easy. You just do what the leader did. And it's so weird how in the church we've twisted this. And follow Jesus is a different game. You don't really have to flap your wings. You don't actually, you can just sit there and do it in your heart. Seriously. You know, when I read the scripture, it says, man, whoever claims to know him must walk as Jesus walked. But we go, "Well, no, I'm doing that in my heart." You're like the kid sitting on the recliner. Go, "No, I'm flapping my wings in my heart." It doesn't make sense. We distort things because of what we want. You know, remember Simon Says? That was easy, right? Simon Says, pat your head. But Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it. That's what we do in the church. If Jesus says, you just got to study it. You just have to be able to quote it in the Greek. It has nothing to do with, "Hey, Jesus says." Look, when my daughter, you know, comes to me and I go, "Look, go clean your room." She knows better than to come back a few hours later and goes, "Dad, I memorized what you said." I can say it in Greek. In fact, some of my friends, they're going to come over and we're going to do a little study on what it would look like to clean my room. It's not making sense to me. And all I can say is that we're twisting things. We do in the church, and we create this little way where we don't actually have to do what you...
He said we create this little way and we twist the scripture in a way that we don't actually have to do what Jesus says. Church, I'm going to be honest with you this morning, that scares me. Because too many times that's my life. Is this us today in the church? Is this you today as a follower of Christ? Now, hear me correctly. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about always getting it right. I'm not talking about never messing up. I know full well Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all mess up. And thank you for the grace of our Father in heaven and for Jesus Christ going to the cross. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we get to that crossroads of knowing or memorizing the scriptures and actually putting them into practice, we can't stop here. We can't just stop and say, oh, I know the scriptures, I memorized them. We actually have to do them. You know, years ago, my kids were blessed, and yeah, they're blessed because these things are not cheap. They got one of these things in the backyard. Anybody ever have to put one of these together? Yeah, you're laughing. Yeah. Those who are laughing may not have had to, or maybe you did. That's why you're like, oh, yeah, we burned it the next day. But when we finally got this, and you got the instruction manual that looks a lot like this with all these pages, and it says right off the bat, this thing has 3,000 pieces, and it's going to take two people 10 to 12 hours to put together. And so immediately I called my dad. He didn't answer his phone right off because he knew, but he finally answered. And he said, all right, I'll grab my toolbox. And so he came over to the backyard, and what did we do? We opened up the instructions, and it said, step one, lay out all the pieces in the yard to make sure you have everything. So we laid out all these pieces to this play set and said, all right, we've got everything. Step two, get this piece and put them together with this screw. And so we did that. And so we just went down step by step. And when we got done 15 hours later, the next day, it looked somewhat like this. And we were proud, not like that. Not like that. Like that. But what would we have done? What would have happened if we'd have gotten this instruction manual and gone down step for step and then gotten to the point where we got tired or it just became too difficult or it made us feel uncomfortable or we didn't necessarily like what it said and we started skipping instructions? What would that play set look like? It would have looked like the next picture, like that right there. Imagine my kids running out going, yes! Oh! Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. And you're sitting there in the pew this morning thinking, nobody in their right mind would ever do that. If you've ever put one of these together, you know you have to follow the instructions. You have to. To get the end result of what that play set is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like, you have to follow the guide. But if truth be told this morning, more times than not, whether we realize it or not, Christians today do that with this. This is our playbook. This is our guide. This is the answer to all of our problems. But yet, there's some things that we choose to do and some things that we don't. Now, I'm not saying we're opening it up going, well, I'll do that and I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that. But if we're to be honest, there's a lot of things in here that we do well and a lot of things in here that we ignore, that we don't put into practice because it makes us feel uncomfortable. As the video said, there's a lot of things in here that we twist and tweak a little bit to make this more appropriate to what I want to do and not what Jesus is asking me to do or who God is asking me to be. And so my first thought is this: why do we do that? Why do we as Christians today not put into practice the words of Jesus? And reading a ton of articles and books and different things, I mean, there's so many answers. We could go around the room this morning and everybody would have a different answer why we don't always put into practice the words of Jesus. But with all of the research that I've done, kind of compiling it all together, I kind of came up with three top reasons. Third reason is this: many Christians in the world today don't know the scriptures. It's hard to put into practice the words of Jesus if we don't know the words of Jesus. For a lot of Christians in the world today, not necessarily you, I'm just saying in general, coming to church and hearing a sermon for 25 minutes and then maybe going to a Bible class is the extent of the knowledge that they're getting throughout the week. Very few Christians are actually going home and having quiet time with God and opening the Bible and letting God speak to them. Truth be told, a lot of Christians in the world today have Bibles, but they look like this, just kind of sitting on the shelf somewhere. And so that's one reason why Christians don't always put into practice the words of Jesus. The second one is this. I've kind of mentioned this already. The difficult teachings get ignored. I mean, there's some things when we read that Jesus spoke, we're like, oh, I can do that. I mean, that's my personality. I'm all over that, man. That makes me feel comfortable. That comes natural to me. And then there's some things that Jesus says in Scripture where we say, you know what, that's tough because that's not my personality. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That's very difficult for me to do. And so what we do is we focus on the ones we can do and go, I'll do these really, really good. But then these other ones, I'm just going to kind of act like they're not there. Not always going to put those into practice. But the number one reason why Christians today don't always put the words of Jesus into practice, the top reason, is because in reality it's still about me. It's still about what I want. It's still about what I want to do. It's about Stuart Cash. It's about what makes me feel comfortable. I base decisions off of what I want because I've yet to really learn and understand and comprehend what it says in Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." This is the foundation of it all. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is where many Christians fail to put the words of Jesus into practice. This is where Stuart Cash fails to put the words of Jesus into practice. Because I'm going to be honest. This life that I'm living now, this temporary life that we're passing through, is still about me and what I want. It's still about what's going to make me comfortable. And we don't like reading passages like Matthew 16 because our first thought is, wait a minute, deny myself? What? It's not about me? It's not about what I want? Not if we wear the name Christian, it's not. But that's tough for many of us because, let's be honest, we want it to be about us. We like the cheers. We like being put up on a pedestal. We like being comfortable. We like making decisions based on what we want. We want what we want when we want it. And not only do we like for it to be about us, but the world we live in today, the society that we live in, tells us that it is about us, or that it should be. I mean, you go out into the world today and you go out to eat, and there's slogans at restaurants like, "Have it your way." Okay, I will. We turn on the radio and we hear songs like, "What have you done for me lately?" Or, "I'm on top of the world," or, "Any way you want it." We turn on the radio and we hear songs like, "It's my prerogative." And a lot of you just had a flashback to the 80s. "It's my prerogative." And you're going to have that song in your head the rest of the day. You're welcome. Many of us walk around and we hear sayings in the world today like, "It's me, myself, and I." Or, "I'm out to get mine." Or, "I'm looking out for number one." And so not only do we like for it to be about us, but we live in a world today that tells us it is about us. And then we open up the scriptures, and Jesus says, but if you're going to be a follower of me, first thing you have to do is learn that it's not about you. You have to learn to deny yourself. Because when it is about me and what I want, it can't be about Jesus. Because when it's about me and I'm making decisions based on what I want and I'm tweaking the scriptures into what fits my personality, then I'm not going to look like Jesus. I'm going to look like Stuart Cash. And when I look like myself, I'm not bringing anybody to the truth. And so it can't be about me. As the scripture that was read in 1 John chapter 2, if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, it can't be about what I want. And so therefore, many times when I read through the scriptures, the words of Jesus, it puts me at a crossroads, so to speak. And there's many difficult teachings. For example, Matthew 5, chapter 38. "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other one also." This puts me at a crossroads because I'll be honest, I don't always want to turn the other cheek. I like revenge at times, and so do you. I'm competitive. You do something to me, I'm going to one-up you. But it puts me in a crossroads, because am I just going to hear these words of Jesus, possibly memorize them, or am I going to put them into practice? It's two totally separate things. You know, I don't necessarily like reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This puts me at a crossroads. Jesus, are you serious? I'm supposed to love my enemies? I'm supposed to pray for those who are persecuting me? Because let's be honest, we all have enemies. We all have people out there that just don't like us. We all have people that gossip behind our back, that want to see harm come to our life or negative things come to our life. I'm supposed to love them? I'm supposed to pray for them? Yeah, I'll pray for them. I'll pray for them to get hit by a bus. But no, that's not the truth. Jesus says you're supposed to love them and pray for them. So it puts me at that crossroads. Hearing the words or actually doing them? I mean, there's so many scriptures that we can go through where Jesus speaks, and it puts us at those crossroads. What about forgiveness? We all struggle with forgiveness. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What about Matthew 6, verse 25? This is going to step on a lot of toes in here. Do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them, O you of little faith. Or what about our theme for 2017, Matthew 28, verse 19? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This puts me in a crossroads, because a lot of times sharing the good news of Jesus with people who are lost makes me feel uncomfortable. And I make the excuses and I say things like, surely they have a Bible. Surely somebody's already told them. Or, man, what if I offend them? Or, you know, that's just not my personality. What would I say? I'm at that crossroads. The words of Jesus or putting them into practice. Memorizing it or doing it. Talking it or walking it. And there's so many things. I mean, we could go down the list over and over. When Jesus talks about lusting, about serving others, giving to the needy, not storing up treasures on earth, not judging, fasting and prayer and so on and so forth. And when truth be told, all of this starts with me learning Matthew 16 of denying myself. This world that I live in has nothing to do with me. I'm just passing through. And many people, I've had people ask me this question before. What does it mean to deny yourself? What does that even look like? I think the greatest example and definition comes from Luke chapter 22, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And Peter, James, and John are over here on the tree and they're asleep. And Jesus is over here praying, kneeling down, and he's saying, God, if I know what's about to take place. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that he's about to be flogged. He knew that he's about to be beaten and spit on and wear the crown of thorns and head to the cross. And he's over here praying. And in one of the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus was in so much anguish that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. But then we read this passage. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. In other words, if there's any other plan, God, let it be. But then he closes it out with this. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, not what I want, but your plan, God. And so when I look at my life and examine my life and I look at all of the things about loving my enemies and praying for those who persecute me and turning the other cheek and letting go of my worries and forgiving other people, I really have to stop and think, not my will, Father, but yours be done. When I see people every single day within my family or that I work with or that you work with or just on a regular basis throughout the week that I know are lost and that I know need help, that I know need a Savior. And I know it's going to be uncomfortable inviting them to church or asking them how I can pray for them or telling them about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have to stop and think. Even though that makes me feel uncomfortable, not my will, Father, but yours be done. I'm not here for what I want. I'm here for what you want. Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. And in closing, once again, if you're a guest with us, so glad that you've been able to join us. We would love the opportunity to get to meet you, to get to know you, and pray with you, get you connected with the great things here at Pleasant Valley. And if anybody in here is yet to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, don't live by the lie that I'll do that tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Start those conversations today. Let's start looking in the scriptures today. If possible, get that done today. If you need prayers, whether you have some bad things going on in your life or some good things going on in your life, you know, a lot of times we say if you need prayers, we automatically think something's bad is going on. No, if you have something that you want to praise God about and give to God and thank God, we have some great elders here. Matter of fact, if you're an elder here in the church, just for 1 second, would you please stand up where you are if you're an elder in the church? Okay, I want you to look around. These great men would love to pray with you. Okay, you may be seated. So find one of them in the foyer today and say, hey, this is going on in my life. Would you pray about this? Would you lift this up? Because they meet on a weekly basis just to pray for you. If you want to come up to the front at the end and pray, we can pray with you then. Church family, this morning, let's not be Christians in the world today who just are memorizing the scriptures, who know the words of Jesus, but aren't putting them into practice. Let's be different. Let's be different. Let's say, you know what? Not only do I know the words of Jesus, not only do I have them memorized, but every day I'm putting them into practice because I've learned to deny myself. I've learned that this world that I'm living in, that I'm just passing through temporarily, is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not what makes me feel comfortable. May we never forget, even though we've tagged it as a VBS song, Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. PV family, I love you, and I thank you for listening to me this morning. But let's get serious about not being a church family or an individual who just talks the talk, but let's walk the walk. Let's be different in the world today, that we're not only memorizing the scriptures, but we're living them out. We're putting them into practice. And therefore, when the world sees us, they see that we're different, because we're not just talking, we're doing. And when our life looks like Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the world says, man, there's something different about them, they too will come to know the truth, and they too will come to know that they have purpose. But it starts with us. It starts with you learning to deny yourself. It starts with me learning to deny myself. I'm not going to be able to forgive others. I'm not going to be able to turn the other cheek. I'm not going to be able to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me or any other difficult thing that Jesus says. I'm not going to be able to do any of those things if I've yet learned to deny myself. It starts with me. Thank you for listening to me.